We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, page 1153. Just as the body, through one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as from one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, then where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all its apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Thank you, Maxwell. Let's pray for God's help as we think about what it means to be a church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Last week, we saw from chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, that Paul was concerned for the Corinthian Christians, energetic but unbalanced in the way they were doing church, to tell them that they must stop measuring spirituality by what they do. Do you remember? The truly spiritual person is someone who's been genuinely converted. That's it. They have Jesus as Lord. It's about believing in him. They must also stop measuring spirituality by what they do because God isn't like that. He is three persons, one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, different roles in the Trinity, but equally God. You don't value one person of the Trinity over the other, do you? And also because whatever gift you have, it's for the common good anyway. So that was last week. But he's just getting started. And we join him as he carries on in a similar vein. Stop measuring spirituality by what you do, because a body isn't like that. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. And verse 14, the body is not made up of one part, but many. And in case the message hasn't sunk in, verse 20, there are many parts, but one body. Take a look at the person sitting next to you, discreetly. It's good, isn't it, that the person you're looking at isn't like this chap from Monsters, Inc., Mike Wachowski. One huge eye and very little of anything else. He is a monster. Whereas the person next to you has all their parts in proper proportions. The head, eyes, mouth, shoulders, arms, torso, legs and feet. One body, many parts. Some parts you see, some you don't. As a soldier, I was given an offer of an insurance firm. There was a leaflet given out that listed, this was just before we deployed to, where was it, Bosnia. It said, if insured, this is how much compensation you would get if you lost that body part. There was a grading system. It was a little shocking to read the difference between losing a hand and losing a toe. Miles away from anything we hoped would ever happen to us. The body is a unit. We function as a whole. And the church is one body. Many parts, some very visible, others not so. And what's vital to grasp is that they all go together to form one body. So ranking one part against another, saying that some people who have one gift are more spiritual than others, no matter who's doing them, is foolish. Will you stop it? Remember in verse 3 of the chapter, Paul has said that what matters isn't a person's gift. That's the way they play a part in the body of Christ. It's the fact that they are a part of the body at all. That is, Jesus is Lord to them. He's in the driving seat of their life. They're Christians. And he comes back to that point because it's so important in verse 13. It's another way of saying you're all Christians. He says, we're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. He's not talking about gin or vodka. He's reminding every Christian they have the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift of all. Whether you're brand new at trusting in Christ and feeling as if you're only a toddler in the faith, or if you're long in the tooth, you've been through the mill, you've taught loads of Sunday school classes, you've been tested by fire, you've 101 answers for the toughest theological questions up your sleeve, all of you, every single one of you, young or old, confident or shy, sitting at the back or at the front, male or female, English or not, you were all baptized by the one Spirit into your life in Christ. And you have all the Spirit's power at work in you. That's the gift we all have. That makes us one. So you see, you are part of the body, whether you feel it or not. The body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, the word in our translations there is part. The body has many parts. In other translations, it says members. One body, many members. That's what we say when you lose a member. You lose a member of your hand, or you lose your hand or something. We talk about members of the body. We take our word membership from that idea. If you are a member of Christ, that is Jesus is Lord, you've been baptized by the one Spirit and he lives in you, and you are in this place, committed to this local body of believers, then you are a member of this church, equally, validly, usefully, indispensably a member. Now, there are two opposing dangers that Paul highlights that we can fall into. The first can lead to jealousy. Don't be jealous of others. Verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't for that reason cease to belong or be part of the body. Here's a person who looks around and sees a gift that they'd like to have but don't, and thinks to themselves, well, I'm not like that. So I may as well leave. And jealousy leads to pique. Paul says, no, get real. Cut off this inferiority complex at the root. You are part of the body, a member of Christ's body, no less. And don't forget, verses 7 and 11, to each one God has given the manifestation of the Spirit. You've been given God's Spirit. You are precious because you are His. No matter what you can or can't do, you are gifted. And He is determined, as He is determined. Now, you can't get more important and more spiritual than being a member of Christ's body. So as far as the church is concerned, you're indispensable. Whoever you are, whatever your gift. Now, this sort of thing might present itself as a kind of wrong-headed humility. I don't seem to be able to do what others do. They have it all together. Their kids are obedient. They have time to read their Bibles. They can sing. They don't feel on the edge of tears every time they come to church. I've got all those problems. I might as well not be here. Or if I have to be here, I should probably sit as far back as I can and let others crack on with all the things that they're good at and I'm not. You see, it sounds humble, but it isn't. Now, it probably hurts a lot, but it is wrong thinking. Your being here makes the body function the way God intends it to. You encourage by your presence. You spur others on by your perseverance. You lift my spirits when you accept a hug and you smile through the pain. You telling me of a need you have allows me the chance to serve you. That is the body functioning as God intends it to. It's not all about health and wealth and what you can do for others in the outside world. A good part of it is how the parts function together. So any belittling of what you think you can contribute is an assault against God. Let me say that again. Any belittling of what you think you can contribute is an offense. It's an assault against God. Because, we're told, verse 18, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Now, if you're measuring your spirituality by what you do or can't do, and not by what God has done for you and where He has placed you, you'll likely end up saying, or at least thinking, or even just doing church, unthinkingly believing something that amounts to this: I think God's got it wrong with me. I come from the bottom of the barrel. I was last to be picked for the team. I may not be on the surface, but it may not be on the surface, but there is envy and jealousy mixed in with those kind of sentiments. And if verse 18 is true, that God has placed the parts in the body as He wanted them to be, then a dissatisfaction with God's gift to you is wrong. But what's the use of tears all the time, or persistent pain, or anxiety that cripples me? Where's the gift in being in a wheelchair, or having to depend on others for a lift to church? What do I bring to the body? What would be missed if I wasn't here? I can hear you thinking that. I want to be serving others. I don't want to be the needy one. I think we can all understand that. It feels good to give. It feels harder to receive. But if all the parts were givers, who would be the receivers? Stop, says Paul. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? I think he wants us to smile at the grotesque image. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Roald Dahl has got a tale of the unexpected about an enormous eye, which is fascinating and awe-inspiring until someone visiting decides to blow smoke at it. How useful a tear duct or an eyelash would have been at that point. At the end of the chapter, Paul asks a series of questions begging the answer no. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 29, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? What's the answer he's expecting to all those questions? No. And at least one of his points is that people are all different, and intentionally so. Not everyone is an eye or an ear. Not everyone is gifted to be the giver. We've been put together with different gifts, and some are to be happy receivers. Tables will turn, our time will come, we'll get frail, we'll get ill, and then it'll be us receiving, and we're to do so joyfully. Let's learn to be happy with the gift God has given us. Accept, verse 27, that we are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. So stop your humble jealousy, your proud envy. Stop looking at others and measuring the different outworkings of the great gifts that you will have and doing yourself down. That isn't helping. There is a second danger, verse 21, a related one to the first, and that is a kind of elitism, thinking of yourself as superior to others. And so I put the point up, don't think you don't need others. Look at verse 21. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. I think he's getting at the fact that they're ranking each other again by what they do, and forgetting that the most crucial fact for a functioning body is that every part needs every part. When a football player scores a hat-trick with his powerful right foot, the whole body is praised, not just the foot. No superiority complexes by powerful right foot people, please. And verse 26, if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. I think we all can have a good guess at what Paul is talking about in verses 22 to 25. Again, using the metaphor of the body, he talks about the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, less honourable or unpresentable. I think he means the bits we take care to cover up in public, minimally sometimes, on beaches. And he says they are indispensable. Other parts need no special treatment, so they don't get the special care. But there should be no division in the body, and all should have equal concern for each other. Taking the idea with the end of verse 26, if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. We've got an important lesson to learn here. As we look around the church, there are those whose roles really are hidden away. And while I know that the people doing them are content to be doing them in that way, these verses point us to doing something we don't normally do. And that is treating them with special honour. We don't do this enough. Perhaps you do, and I want to encourage you if that is what you do. You take opportunities to encourage the unseen person on the sound desk, or the person who's made the coffee. The refreshments team, they get here early with milk and gallons of coffee made at home. They ensure everything is ready so that we can be served a drink and chat and pray together happily. Big thank you to them. Without that behind-the-scenes work, we'd be a lot less welcoming church. Conversations would probably be shorter after church. If someone is properly loved and heard and understood and prayed for by a fellow home group member after church, thanks be to God for their patient listening and prayer. But thanks be to God, too, for the people who put the drinks in their hands. Or take our creche. Along with organising the rota and taking on emergency sessions more than others, Richard, Miser Stedman, has done some hard graft sorting through the creche toys to make sure we have a good selection of clean and working ones for our children to enjoy. People see a thriving children's work at Christchurch and they want to come along on a Sunday. The sense that we are a Bible-teaching, welcoming church is a shared joy. It's a super safe and warming creche that many parents are happy leaving their children in. That is a precious gift that needs honouring. Now, we get a glimpse of the teams leading our children's work occasionally up the front, or maybe as they lead the children out in their big exodus halfway through the service. But we need to acknowledge that there are hard hours working over the passage in the week and thinking about how to get truths across to small people. That is unseen, but it is vital. Thank you to those involved. And I trust you all know how blessed you are to have Nick and soon to be Julian taking care of our finances. There is an AGM moment when we all get to hear a little of what the treasurer has been keeping track of. But week in, week out, there's the paying of the bills, the fielding the finance inquiries, the ensuring that we're making the most of gift aid. That all falls on the treasurer. It's great work done very well, and without it, we'd fall over very fast. Honouring the parts means every part rejoices. We shouldn't be surprised that it's good to do that. We're one body, Verse 26 points to us, if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Conversely, though, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Now, that isn't a drive to be seeking perfect health, so that no one is suffering. It's just a reminder of the reality of life, a pointer to how interconnected we all are, whether we are seen or not seen. Take a middle toe or a wisdom tooth. Rarely seen in polite company, they go about their business unseen, dutifully every day, the toe helping balance and the tooth chewing away. But then you badly stub your toe and you end up a whimpering wreck on the ground. Or toothache sets in so badly that painkillers won't touch it. And that points the rest of the body acutely to feel the joined upness of the body. Now, I find it curious that I had a wisdom tooth out 2 weeks ago, and I've had an infected toe this week. I think God wanted me to do the practical on this one before teaching it. It's precisely when a part of the body hurts that the rest of the body gets to wrap that part in care and love. Might God give us parts of the body that are hurting precisely to help us function better? You see, if that's the case, then just longing for healing or full health isn't the whole story. We're being given a chance to function better together and less on our own when someone with special needs, through ill health or for any other reason, gives the rest of us a perhaps tiring, perhaps hard, but always good for us opportunity to serve one another and function properly. So please don't be thinking, if only I was perfectly healthy. Be thinking, what has God given me that I might receive or be a gift to others? And lastly, harmony is the priority. Knowing and speaking the word of God unites us all. In our church, perhaps the strongest rebuke we should hear from Paul is the tendency to overvalue the upfront ministry that happens at church, especially the leading, the preaching, the music, and undervalue the vital one-to-one word ministry that happens before and after church and throughout the week and whenever we see one another. Perhaps you see someone from church in the co-op and you grab a minute between the cereal and the cat food aisle to speak. How are you doing? Well, I'm struggling a bit, actually. I've had a bad few weeks on the sleep front. And at that point, you have a chance to demonstrate what makes us spiritual people or not. The way you reply will either pander to the culture and offer very little spiritual encouragement, oh, sorry, and a quick change of subject, or it'll do something much better. I'm sorry, that must be hard. How can I pray? Can I take something off you so that you can get some rest? Looking forward to God's rest is a huge comfort to me when rest here seems so hard to come by. Have you read Hebrews 4? Why don't we grab a coffee together and let's read it? Word ministry, unseen but vital. Loving those in need by speaking God's word and accepting love as God's word is applied to you when you're needy is vital to church life. So stop measuring spirituality by the visible impressiveness of what anyone does and get speaking God's word. There is something very striking about the last few verses here, verse 28 to 30. And I think that brings this point home. Here is another list of gifts, different to the one earlier in the chapter. And if you look closely, it's not gifts, but people who he mentions at the start of verse 28. Apostles, prophets, teachers. And to those he does give an order, a hierarchy. So what are we to make of that coming so soon after he's just leveled the playing field? God's given us gifts. Stop measuring where you are on this hierarchy. He seemed to have said so far. And yet here there is a priority. First of all, the apostles. Those who have brought us God's word directly. Those who knew Jesus and were authorized by him to pass on his word. Of course, they are top of the list. They are God's mouthpiece. everything must flow from Jesus, and they are his authorized speakers. Now, the apostles were soon dead and long gone, but what they wrote has been passed down to us. So we can have apostles, first of all, if we will only treasure God's word. The Bible is the apostles' deposit. So know and treasure it. Second, prophets, those who take God's word and pass it on, explaining and applying it. And I guess that's me right now. That's the Bible study leader midweek. Not everyone does that. Then teachers, distinct from prophets, and I'm not quite sure how, but still perhaps communicating truths that align with God's word. And that'll be you as you share the truth of the gospel over a coffee or between the aisles. Then miracles, then healing, then helping, then guidance and tongues. And those are much more flashy gifts, or at least four of them are. Helping is amazingly ordinary, but it's there right in the midst of the flashy ones. Striking that they're all of a different order than the first three, though, Paul has definitely subordinated these flashy gifts to word ministries. That much is clear. And bottom of that list is tongues and interpreting tongues, a topic to which he will return. So he's come back to his theme. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Tantalizing, because even if not all do work miracles, some may have done. And I'm just a little teeny bit curious about that one, aren't you? But that isn't his point. His point is that there is diversity and unity. So please, no inferiority complexes or superiority complexes. Just one body with its various members. All have a part to play, so function as best as you can, as one. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Suffer with those who suffer. And be very, very wary of measuring yourself by what you can or can't do, what you think you know or don't know. That is a recipe for division, and harmony is the priority. One spirit, one body, preciously put together by God as we are at Christ Church. No more or less than God intends for the moment. Don't wish anyone gone. Don't wish you were somewhere else. We are to function together. Honor the less visible. Speak with someone new this morning. Value everyone. Value the children. Do you take it as a responsibility to find a youngster who comes back from the children's work and have a conversation with them? Value them. See them as God's gift to us. What about the most tearful person? Will you sit with them and hold their hand? What about the most opinionated vocal one? Will you do some patient listening? We all have our part to play. It's a miracle every time we meet. Let's remember that God has brought us together and revel in that. Revel in that. Let me give you a moment, perhaps half a minute or so, to think, what am I going to do as a result of what Paul has written here? What difference is there going to be to the way I do church, the way I think about serving others? I'll then pray, and I'll then hand back to Andrew, and we'll be finished in a few minutes. Our Father, we're sorry for looking at other people and measuring ourselves unhelpfully. Please may we look at you and what you've given us in Jesus and by the Spirit and rejoice that we together are one. May membership at Christ Church be a privilege and a joy. And as we look at the variety and the diversity of gifts that people have, that some will be receivers and some will be givers and some will be vocal and some will be quiet. May we rejoice in our differences and you keep us united. Help us to function in a way that honors you, we ask, for your glory's sake and for its witness to the world. Amen. The musicians, you should have you up.